Hi, welcome to the Briones Pickleball Podcast. My name is Jordan Briones, your host, and with me, I have my awesome co-host, Kaden Nemoff.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, what's up, Kaden?
How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing pretty good. Again, it's a nice Tuesday morning, a little bit cloudy.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be forecasted rain, but it held off a little bit, so.
Yeah, you never really know what you're going to get in Arizona. That's one thing I've noticed.
Yeah. We are definitely lucky here. In today's podcast, just going to give you a little breakdown of what we're going to be talking about. We are going to be going over some strategy tips. Of course, this channel is made to improve you as a player, and we're going to do our best to do that on this podcast, and we're going to be there's going to be a special announcement.
Oh yeah.
So stay tuned for that. We are going to talk about what it's like to be a pro in pickleball. Kaden Nemoff is on the tour, so I'm going to be asking him some questions regarding that and his training and diet. And we are going to be going over the recap of APP Daytona and talking about the upcoming PPA in Mesa, here. Cool. In our hometown.
That's right, at my home facility, Bell Bank Park.
All right, so that's what we have upcoming, and let's jump right in to our strategy session or section of today's podcast. And I'm gonna start off.
Let's do it.
And this is one that we hear a lot. Actually, when I first started teaching, this is one that, 5-6 years ago was a common one. And actually, I hear this get taught all the time with clients that I've had. And I'm like, not the best. So,
right. Okay.
This one would be, I'm actually going to give the wrong strategy tip first.
Okay.
It is when you hit your third shot drop, you want to aim right above or right after the net, really short into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So have you, what are your thoughts about that one, Kaden? Have you heard that before?
Too many times, honestly. That's one of the most common things I probably hear in clinics, lessons, all of it as well, where either people have either been told that by their friends, by a pickleball coach that they took a lesson from or a clinic from, but to be fair, when we first started playing pickleball, I think that was kind of just the general assumption.
You know what I mean? That is actually a good point. So I think I was taught that way.
I was too.
So the problem with aiming, I've heard even people, when I'm teaching third shot drops, the first thing I ask them, where do you think a good target is?
Yeah.
And a lot of them say, well, if I can get the ball 1 inch after the net every single time, that'd be a good shot. And I'm like, yeah, that would, but how hard would that be?
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple things on that. When you're aiming that close to the net, you're going to hit the net.
Yep.
Okay. That's number one.
A lot.
Number two, let's say you are aiming 2 to 3 feet, from the net, so that which is still fairly short.
Right.
You have to have a very, very high arc on that ball.
Yeah.
And now you have to deal with the high bounce. In lower levels, that's not that big of a problem, but in higher levels, when you're reaching the 3-5, 4-0, those balls are going to get teed off on. So the place where you strategically want to go, and you'll see this in the pro levels, just watch one match, study it, slow it down. All drops are very, very close to that line, that non-volley zone line, and also sometimes 1 to 3 feet behind the line.
Yeah.
And in your experience, Kaden, why are deep drops near the non-volley zone line important?
Yeah, personally, I mean, when I'm dropping the ball, I'm never aiming for the kitchen. I'm always aiming either at the feet, I'm either aiming to open space, right? But the last thing I want to do is just give them a ball that all they have to do is take a step back and have a high, easy forehand to hurt me with, right? So when I teach, I personally always give my students a target. And that target is your opponent's feet to their knees. And I give them the margin to their knees because, well, let's be honest, it's hard to be perfect, right? Yeah. You're not going to hit a ball perfectly every time. But that being said, when you aim for a target and you think about where you're actually trying to go, not only could you be more successful, but going to that spot, whether they take it off the bounce or in the air, they can't hurt you with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as long as I'm forcing contact going upward from my opponent,
there you go,
I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah, so the whole purpose of a drop anyways is to force a low contact ball. If you can force your opponents to hit up, they're very limited in their attacking and what they can do with that ball. I was talking to somebody the other day and we were working on their third shot drops. A lot of people look at the net. Like, I don't know where you look, Kaden. I'll ask you this in a second, but like they look at the net as a reference. I think it's helped a lot of players that I work with to actually look beyond the net.
Yeah.
And look at the line, the non-volley zone line, where to target. Where do you look on yours? Right.
I'm actually usually looking at my opponent's knees.
Okay.
So I go through the net, but that being said, I like to kind of have a picture in mind of where I'm trying to go. Typically I personally wouldn't tell someone to look at their knees. That's yeah. just for me.
Okay.
But I would actually teach it how you would, where yeah. I would say, you know, go towards the kitchen line. And, you know, if you need to go a little bit past it, I'd rather you miss a little bit long than miss into the net. So
there you go. And if your third shot drops, sit up a little bit, we're always still on the point, right? So we want to leave that margin. We want to give ourselves height over the net and we can still defend. So that is my strategy tip. And Kaden, your weekly tip on strategy or technique,
yeah.
you can pick, but what is yeah. that?
Mine is a three-step process in pickleball.
Okay.
All right. It works kind of like a chain reaction, which means if you forget to do one part, the other two go to crap. So it does, if you actually try and utilize it, it's really, really important and it's actually could help you a lot. But mine is footwork and court positioning.
Okay.
Contact point and swing speed.
Nice. All
right. Now, I just blurt out, you know, three random words, whatever, but those three things can make or break your pickleball day.
Yeah. Let's break them down a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The first thing you said is footwork and court positioning.
Yeah.
So why don't you kind of explain that?
Yeah. So I think the most common thing that I see in pickleball is people don't move their feet. And I get it. You look at a pickleball court and you probably, you know, go, oh, well, this is great. I don't have to move at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you watch any professional pickleball, you'll realize that there is a lot more moving than you think there is, you know? And people always say, oh, well, you know, as a tennis player, I wouldn't even play doubles. You don't even move.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be surprised, you know? But what happens is when we don't move, we don't actually ever get ourselves in an offensive position to hit the ball back, mm-hmm. right? Which means our mindset when we're hitting the ball is just get the ball over the net instead of where am I hitting this ball?
Yeah, so court positioning wise, so because we have viewers watching and viewers listening.
Right.
So what can you tell them? So they get it, they have to move their feet,
yep. but
what does that look like?
Yeah, well, so at the kitchen line, you're yep. gonna be shuffling your feet, right? Back at the baseline in doubles, you're still shuffling your feet, right? Obviously, you do need to run forward. You might need to run back, but there should never be any backpedaling, right? If you're at the kitchen line, you should never be, you know, turning your body and fully running one side and then running the other side. You should always have an open face and keeping your body towards your opponents. But moving your feet sets everything up pretty nicely.
Yeah, no, that's really good. When I think of footwork, the main thing, actually, it goes right into contact point.
Right.
The reason why we move our feet is to get a good, have a good contact point. So we'll talk about that, but now let's talk about core positioning though.
Yeah.
Because you put those together.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So where you're putting yourself on the court decides your next shot, right? Because once you've moved your feet to that ball, not only do you have to hit that ball now and send it back to your opponents, but now how do you recover?
Yeah.
Right? How do you get yourself in the best position possible to receive that next shot coming back in?
Yeah. So a big one that I'm sure you see all the time is someone moves to the ball and then after the hit, they stay there, right?
They watch it.
So the recovery is really important. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, if you're moving out for the ball, you hit it, obviously you've moved to it. So we need to recover to our next spot. So that's really, really important. No, that's a really good one. So footwork, court positioning, and then the second one was what?
Contact point.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so your contact point, personally, I like to have all of my students stick out their non-dominant playing hand and have it straight out in front of them and kind of say, all right, you see this little area right here?
Yeah.
This is the same distance that you should have when you're hitting that ball, right? Because, I mean, it's set up by your footwork, but if you don't have a good contact point, what do you have?
Yeah, it's really, really tough. Obviously, what we see at levels all across the board, but obviously beginner, intermediate levels, we see that contact point behind or to the side of yourself. So like when you're at the kitchen line, you're in an open stance and that ball's either getting behind you or even and you all the listeners and viewers out there, you can, you know, one thing that you can just watch and try to pay attention to next time you play is where you're hitting the ball. So if you find yourself losing sight of the ball, then that ball's probably getting behind you. And what in your experience with all the players you teach, what usually happens when the ball gets behind you?
Oh, well, it causes inconsistency, right? Which means you don't actually have control of the ball.
Yeah.
And typically what I see is because that ball's either behind you or to the side of you, you can't actually get underneath that ball, which means you're either dumping it in the net or if you are getting underneath it, you have no control of it now and now you're popping it up, right?
Yeah.
So good buddy of mine, his name is Tyson McGuffin. You might know him.
Never heard of him.
Well, that's fair. Okay. But he has the idea of big picture. Mm-hmm. Right? Big picture means you can see where you're making contact, you can see your opponents, you can see the court, you can see everything that's going on.
Yeah.
When you don't have a good contact point, you now only see little picture, which means you are now giving up on either your contact point or you're giving up on your opponents.
Yeah.
And as you get higher in level, if you're giving up on your opponents, that's where you start to see Deckel Bar hitting an Ernie down your throat.
That's good. Actually, the first thought that came to mind when you said that is like when you're driving.
Yeah.
Or like when you're riding a bike. Like if you're looking at something like right on the side of the road, you kind of lose sight of where you're going. Yeah. So that's pretty good. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, like you're texting and driving. You're not going to see the cop that you just flew by at 120 miles per hour.
Yeah. No, I really like that.
I'm not speaking from experience, by the way. I'm not. I promise.
We'll talk about Caden's accumulated tickets in another podcast.
It's only one, Jordan. Only one.
Yeah, but so the last thing I do want to mention about the contact point is when players get it behind them, they end up that you have to be able to compensate for that contact point and you start using your wrist.
Yep.
Or something else.
Right.
And that's where the inconsistencies occur.
Or you start to freak out and you
swing at it.
Blow your swing speed up.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So really, really good. Love it, Caden. Contact point. We're trying to move our feet so that we can get that contact point out in front. You suggested just putting your non-dominant, your non-playing hand out in front of you. And just as at least a baseline or indicator.
Yeah.
So what is that? Now let's jump to that third thing.
Yeah, the swing speed, right? Believe it or not, we don't take that many different swings. We like to create a bunch of different swings, but we shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
So what that means is if I'm actually moving my feet and I'm getting a good contact point, I can swing at the speed that I want and do whatever I want from there, right? Which means if I want to dink that ball, I can be a little bit slower and I can be a little bit smoother, right? I think one common thing that I see all the time is people, when they're dinking compared to when they're hitting hard, it's the same exact fast swing, but what they do is they stop their swing because they go, oh, I'm trying to hit the ball soft.
Yeah.
That's not how we control the ball.
Yeah.
Right? So what that means is once you've set those first two steps up, now you can slow your body down and really control that ball, right? Or you can speed it up and hit something fast, right? But your swing speed decides what that ball is going to do and how much pace is on it.
Yeah. So obviously, the slower you swing, the less pace it's going to have on your paddle or off your paddle, the faster you swing.
Right.
Yeah, I talk about swing speed a lot with the players that I work with. One other thing that I could think of is when the ball, how fast the ball is coming at you.
Right.
Right. You have to take that in consideration. I'm just going to shout out real quick to Callie Smith.
Oh.
You know what? So it's really interesting. I just saw this random video of her teaching. I don't know how it came across my feed.
Hmm.
I've never seen her teach. But one interesting thing that I've actually never heard of is she used this analogy of in frames of 10.
Okay.
Or, you know, like if there's a two speed, let's say you're working on your drops from the baseline.
Yeah.
If there's like a 7-paced ball,
mm-hmm.
your swing speed or how you're going to hit is a 3.
Right.
If you have a 3-paced ball, right, to add up to 10, then you're swinging more at a 7 speed. And I was like, you know what?
I really like that.
I really like that too.
That's really cool.
What do you think about that?
Callie, you're a genius. That is
Yeah. So
actually came up with that tactic. Yeah.
Yeah. So Callie, shout out to you. I just thought that was really, really interesting. And that goes
a true pro. Wow.
Yeah. That goes exactly with what you're talking about.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I like that.
So footwork, core positioning, contact point, and swing speed. Make sure that you are doing all three.
Yeah. It's a do or die situation, you know, in the pickleball world. If you forget those three steps.
Yeah. And again, the pros are the pros. They're very, very good. But exactly what Kaden was talking about, that's something that they do consistently, time over time again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to a couple of the students that I coached this past week. And I was talking to them about how it looks like they're playing slower, that they slow the game down. But it's because they get in position super early,
right?
Then they execute and then they move.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Now let's transition into just a quick safety tip, equipment tip. And this one is fairly simple, you would think, but definitely I've seen this. And the safety tip is, if you're playing pickleball, play with pickleball / tennis shoes.
Bow, 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 bow.
Court shoes.
Seriously.
By the way.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people play in running shoes. I've seen them play in
Some
slippers,
Ross slip-ons,
some boots.
Oh my gosh.
Why? So again, court shoes. Why is it super important? Or have you came across this?
Yeah, I actually had a lady in my league who broke like 3 bones in her foot from jumping and landing incorrectly on her foot, like maybe 4 months ago. It was a while ago.
What shoes was it?
She was wearing some
like runners, like hybrids,
athletic shoes.
Really?
But like there were no shoelaces. There was no ankle support.
No shoelaces.
Yeah, there was no ankle support. It was like a foamy shoe. It wasn't like a solid shoe that's like, you know, tie your shoelaces and everything. No, it's like, oh, I'm 30 minutes late to work. Let me slip these on.
Ooh.
You know, and then she brought them to pickleball too.
Yeah.
You know?
What happened? Was she like running?
So she went to hit an overhead that was over her head.
Yeah.
And she jumped up. And as she jumped up, she missed the ball, came down, landed on 1 foot funny, and completely broke it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
completely broke it. I'm not a doctor, so I obviously was like, can we get a security guy over here?
Just so we can
golf cart her out. But like,
where was this?
At Legacy. She was in the league.
Oh man.
Dude, she almost fainted on us. Oh, she was going into like shock. You know, she was just like sitting there. She was like, "Oh, it's broken for sure." And I was like, "Yeah, it looks broken."
Oh, you know? Man!
But I was like, "Okay." So I just got her ice as soon as possible. Like, yeah. We got her on a golf cart.
Jeez.
Like, as I'm like, you know, one friend's on one side, I'm on the other side. We're like, lifting her to the golf cart, and she's like, "Guys, I gotta sit down."
Oh man!
Like, she almost passed out on us, but she's recovering.
I was going to ask you that. Is she on back on the court?
I did see her back on the court.
Oh,
I
think cool. It's good.
Slow and steady right now, which is good. Slow and steady wins the race, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I didn't know what to do in that situation. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, of course, like, the first thing I noticed was her little slipper on the ground that they slipped right off her foot, just like she slipped it on in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, what are you doing wearing these shoes? That was the first thing I said. I was like, okay, when you come back,
yeah,
I need you to get some good quality shoes. And I tell most of my students that, because obviously people want comfort.
Yeah.
You know, I think people look for comfort the most in a shoe, which is valid. But playing in a sport like pickleball, you need to have specific things.
Yeah, so we move laterally a lot. We move up and back, so court shoes have the ankle support you need, and the I don't know what you call it, the sidewalling, or you know, the it's extra
like extra rubber
on the sides, for those shuffle steps and things like that. So make sure you do that. Please don't wear tennis shoes.
Are there any shoes that you recommend?
So there's a lot of shoes out there. I've just been using Wilson's for a long time, so I use the Wilson Rush Pros right now.
Did you wear those in tennis too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you currently using?
I either wear the Babolat Jet Tiers.
Okay.
Or the Lotto Speed Rushers. I think that's what they're called. Lottos. But they're both of those. Those are the most comfortable shoes for me.
Yeah, and as a shoe tip, you know what, everyone's feet's a little bit different. I would try to go to a shoe store or something, try them out.
Yeah. Maybe don't order your first pair on Amazon.
Yeah.
But
like maybe go to a Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. I would do that. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah.
But that's our safety tip. And now we are going to get to the special announcement of the podcast.
What's happening, Jordan?
Okay. So, Caden, you have a special announcement.
I do.
To share with the pod and to everybody.
Yeah, no, I am super excited.
You can look into that camera right there.
I'm
going
to look right into you, okay? I am super excited to announce that I have signed with Selkirk Sport.
Let's get that applause going here.
Where's the confetti, man? Come on.
It's not in the budget yet.
Oh, okay.
But okay, so sign with Selkirk.
Yeah.
As you all know, I'm definitely with Team Selkirk as well. So, Caden, you know, what are your initial thoughts and what do you like about Selkirk?
Yeah, personally, love the Selkirk family. I mean, as you know, it's a family-owned company.
Yeah.
I mean, they've grown it into so much more.
Oh, it's insane.
It's not even a family, I should say. It's a whole battalion.
Yeah.
You know, that is... In Star Wars, that is a clone battalion right there, and they are ready to fight, and they are ready to battle. But personally, I love what they do as far as marketing, as far as, you know, everything that they're trying to do to grow the sport. I mean, they've been in pickleball since, seems like, the beginning.
Yeah, I definitely need to look up the year. I definitely should have that. But, that's super awesome. Actually, Caden, for the viewers out there, I actually started with some kind of off-brand paddles.
Yeah. Didn't you use a Champions paddle?
Very beginning.
Okay.
So I started there. Then I went to the ZZT Sports.
Oh, I remember that paddle.
So that...
I love that thing.
That had a great touch. Then I got sponsored by Engage Pickleball. So I was with Engage a really, really long time. Another family-owned paddle company. Shout out to Rob Robert Elliott, and yeah, I was with them a long time and just recently signed with Selkirk. Actually, you, Caden, were with Selkirk actually like how many years ago?
A couple years ago.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, so you and I actually have had a fairly similar paddle company path.
Yeah.
But like you got sponsored by Engage, and then I actually got sponsored by Engage because I met the whole family at Nationals.
You know, that's funny. So you're just following along. I like it.
Maybe you got to get a Tesla like me, you know what I mean? So we'll go back and forth. A
couple of years from now, maybe.
But then you were still with Engage.
Yeah.
You were with them, I mean, forever. But
yeah.
Actually, like my first contract where a company had offered me to, you know, play some tournaments and, you know, apply for reimbursement and have some tournaments paid for was Selkirk.
Yeah.
And they were awesome. You know, I think I think the biggest thing that I loved about Selkirk was just how on top of everything they are, right? Like, I mean, obviously you guys notice that Selkirk has gone out and signed a lot of high quality pros.
Crazy.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And even with that whole team there, they still manage to have someone reaching out to you about whatever you could possibly need.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as you send an email saying, hey, I need this or I need that, no worries. We got you.
Yeah.
I sent an email out yesterday going, holy crap, you know, like I only have one paddle right now. So I sent them an email saying, hey, could I possibly get two extra paddles for this weekend just so I have some new ones?
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
20 minutes later. Got an email back.
That's great, man.
Put the order in. It's on the way.
Let's go.
Now,
yeah.
Hopefully, I get those in time for this weekend. Yeah. But you know, that's awesome.
No, that's great.
You know,
speaking of paddles, which one are you using right now?
So I'm using the Halo 13mm XL.
Okay, so longer handle.
Longer handle.
13mm.
Right.
What do you like about it? How does it serve you well?
Yeah. So I would say last year I was very much enjoying a thicker paddle and allowing myself to supply the power.
So were you using like 16 millimeter?
I was using a 16 millimeter paddle pretty much all of last year.
Oh, okay.
And then towards the end of last year, I actually tried a 14 millimeter paddle and loved it.
Hmm.
And so after that, I was kind of like, all right, well, you know what? I have good touch. I have good control. Why don't I give myself a little bit more power?
Yeah.
So I don't have to kill my shoulder every tournament. You know what I mean? So I decided to go thinner.
Yeah.
And obviously the Halo comes in a 16 and a 13.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously tried both and I don't know. I think I just felt a little bit more at home with the 13.
Okay.
After I had switched and used the 14 for the last couple months of last year.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm currently using the 16 millimeter Halo. I might be switching. I don't know. I'll have to test it out a little bit more. But yeah, so shout out to Selkirk. Again, you guys are awesome and a sponsor of ours. So we love you guys.
That's right.
Okay, so let's jump right into what is it like being a pro on the tour? Now, right now, I'm currently not traveling to a lot of tournaments because of family and and the business and stuff like that. But actually, Caden, you are all over. You're playing, 22 tournaments this year?
Yeah.
So he's playing APP and PPA in the pro divisions, singles and doubles. So, you know, for the listeners and viewers out there, what is it actually like?
It's a lot of moving around.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as it seems. You know what I mean? I feel like over the last couple of years, I've kind of picked the ones that have been convenient for me.
Yeah.
But going into this year, I mean, I basically told myself nothing's off the table. Now, granted, I don't love Florida.
Wait, why is that?
Oh, man, mosquitoes. Are terrible. I went to the U.S. Open.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah, in 2018 or 2019. I can't remember exactly what year it was.
Yeah.
I probably came home with like 40 something mosquito bites.
Really? I don't remember that. I didn't have that problem, but I do remember the humidity.
I had that problem. It was not fun. I was in hives. I mean, I don't know about you, but like when I must be allergic to mosquito bites because mine get super bumpy, super red, like super shiny. And usually I scratch the crap out of them until they start bleeding and then they hurt, but I'd much rather them hurt than itch.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
All right. Maybe TMI, but,
sorry about that.
We'll let the listeners decide on that one. But, I just wanted to ask you like what it's like to actually be on tour.
Right.
And I know some other pro players have kind of talked about this, but even like financially, right? So like you, Kaden, are not like in the top 10.
Right.
Or, that's the goal to keep pressing and keep going.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Obviously the players, I would say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but top 5, 10, they're making a really good living, I think, with sponsors and things like that. Well, if we talk about the top 3 players or something, that's different. But
right. I would say the top 3 to top 5 is different. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after it drops outside of top 10, kind of get to 12, 15,
it gets tricky.
It gets tricky. You know, players out there or people out there would think like, oh, they're probably making a lot of money and doing this thing. But why don't you kind of share some of the realities of the players just trying to get in that.
Yeah.
That top 10 range.
Yeah. So it's a lot harder than most people think. And I think especially for, tennis players who kind of just come into pickleball and are like, oh, well, I was a good tennis player. Like, I'm sure I could be a good pickleball player. Like, there's a lot of hard work and dedication that comes before you just saying, oh, well, I'm going to play a pro event.
Yeah.
And now personally, pro events aren't cheap either. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, working at Legacy, I hear a lot of different opinions on why tournaments are so expensive. You know, and personally for like the tournaments we run at Legacy,
yeah,
it doesn't even compare to what we're paying to play the APP or the PPA. You know, last year I played in the New York City Open at the Billie Jean King Center.
How was that, by the way?
So cool.
That's where the US Open is.
The US Open is for tennis. And it was, I mean, it's just a tennis facility at the end of the day, but it was like, oh crap, like this is super cool. You know, I'm in New York. It was my first time in New York.
Did they like just repave the?
Yeah, pretty much. They repaved a couple of courts for championship court. Yeah, yeah. And then they repaved, I would say maybe like 8 courts and then did 8 courts of taped lines. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you were on a normal court, it was fine. Yeah. I will say they kind of cheaped out on the lines. The lines skid like crazy.
Yeah.
When I was out there for that tournament, but like, dude, it was insane. I went with my dad. Shout out Terry Nemoff, the old man. He's actually staying with me this week, but he found us an Airbnb.
Yeah.
In New York,
which was probably really cheap, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, it cost us about, a mansion in Arizona. Yeah. But literally, we showed up to this place. I want to say my dad probably paid like $175 a night. This place had no furniture.
Oh, dude, $175 a night is like, that is a no furniture, definitely.
In New York, right?
There was zero though.
It was a full place. Like it was an upstairs. Like
no, it was zero furniture.
Zero furniture. The only thing it had was a bed in the bedroom.
Okay, so it had a bed.
That's it though. But like, there was no couch. Oh, there was no TV.
God. Oh
like,
my God.
There was barely any dishes in there for us to use.
This is like an Airbnb?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is an Airbnb. We walk upstairs and I'm like, I open it up and there's nothing in there. There's a, literally a bathroom.
Dude, that might have been a scam. That might have been someone's house.
I don't know what my dad was looking at. We might need to check his eyes again, but it was, but anyways, besides that, the APP inflated their tournament prices as well for that event.
What, like last minute? No, not.
I don't think last minute. I just think like kind of like sneaky under the table. They were hey, you know, this one's going to be a little bit more pricey for us to pay. So why don't we just kind of bump it up like 10 bucks, 20 bucks. And I guarantee you people won't even notice because they're, they want to play at the Billie Jean King Center.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
But me being me, I'm stingy with my money.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, hold on a second. So I went to the tournament director and I was like, oh, how come, you know, usually I'm paying like $290 to $320 for two events. How come I'm paying $380?
Ooh.
Like I paid pretty much $400 to play in this tournament.
Yeah.
That's not even getting to the flight yet. All right. She's like, oh, well, we're playing at the Billie Jean King Center. And I thought she was joking for a sec.
The Billie Jean upcharge there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was joking for a sec. I was like, no, really. And she's like, no, no, seriously. And I'm like, oh my God, are you serious?
Oh man.
You know, so like that's like, you know, $90 or to $110 for the registration. And then they're charging $150 for every event. I'm like, ow.
Dude, actually, my dad and I went, my dad took me to the US Open. I got to see.
Like the tennis tournament?
The tennis
tournament. Okay, okay, okay.
And this was probably 10 years ago, maybe more. Actually, probably 15 years ago.
Oh, damn.
Got to see some big names in the game. What I remember from that trip, I just remember, did they have the concessions open?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, okay, you tell me this. I remember this is 15 years ago.
Oh, man. Okay,
so inflation has happened since then.
Hot dogs.
But I remember a deli sandwich. I remember seeing it on a menu vividly. $17.50.
At that time?
At that time. I just want to know if things are the same or if like they've skyrocketed more than that.
I mean,
no, really, it was $17.50.
Wow. I mean, personally, I didn't buy anything from concessions because I knew it was going to be ridiculous. I will say, I think a water was like $8.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So
like a little bottled water.
Smaller than this.
$8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which means if that's they were selling like a hot dog, it was probably like not even a deli sandwich, 15, but a hot dog, it was probably like, 14, 15 bucks,
oh
60
my
bucks.
Gosh,
and if they had the deli sandwich, it would probably be like 24.
Okay. Wow.
I'd put money on that.
Dang, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But back to that tournament.
Yeah.
I didn't even talk about the flight yet.
Yeah.
I spent
$600.
I wish. $800 on a flight to New York. Now, granted, if I were smarter, I probably would have booked that flight a little bit more in advance. But I still gave myself like a month and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how are flights that expensive? Yeah. It like, oh, dude, I literally, like when I bought the plane ticket, I felt a stab wound into my heart. You know?
That's tough. And again, talking about financially, so you pay flights, you play all this, and this is why you need sponsors to at least cover those costs. And here's the thing, and just talking about what it's like to be a pro in the pickleball space right now, if you don't win, which it's really hard to do right now,
it's true,
you're not getting any extra money,
right?
So then you're either breaking even or going negative. And again, we're talking about the reality of pro pickleball.
Yeah.
And it's pretty tough right now.
Yeah. No, it's I mean, I'm going to be honest. Most, I would say 80% of pickleball professionals right now, if they don't have a sponsor, are going negative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And even with the sponsors, so obviously I know a lot of the pros on the tour, they have other things. I mean, for crying out loud, like Matt Wright, I still think he teaches. I mean,
does he?
His practice law.
Yeah, right.
And doesn't teach, but he still has his job. And again, one of the top players in the world. And it's like, yeah. So there's a lot of pros that are still working.
Yeah.
You said Elise Jones is a teacher.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. How do you see it developing in the next 5 years or so? Kind of like the pro, you know, kind of like the payouts and things like that.
It's tough, right? Like you look at the brackets, they're only getting bigger.
Yeah.
Right. But like personally, like, if you want professional pickleball to continue being a sport, like, there has to be a way where you're not just paying out your top three guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I mean, I've had good tournaments where I went, you know, 5-2, 6-2, mm-hmm. and I got fourth place.
Yeah.
And guess what I went home with?
Fourth place winnings.
A bummed hip. That's all I got.
Yeah.
That's all I got, you know? I got to sit in the back of my car while my dad drove, and all I felt was hip pain.
Yeah.
From playing 6 or 7, 8 matches of singles, and I got nothing. I mean, they gave me a bag of chips, actually, yeah. So I shouldn't say that, but it's just kind of crazy,
it's
you know?
Tough, man.
It's honestly, it's a tough field, and it's not getting any easier. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you would love to see, you know, pro tours pay out to top eight, even if it's $200.
Do they not do that right now? Is it only the top three in PPA and APP right now?
Yes.
Wow.
But I know last year they implemented a system where every win in the winner's bracket, you make a specific sum of money.
Is that happening right now?
I don't know if it's continued. I'll be honest.
That would make sense, actually.
I had some wins in the winner bracket last year.
Yeah.
And
didn't happen.
I never got a PPA email saying, hey, what's your checking account number so we can send you the $250, $300 that you've earned?
Yeah.
No, I never got that. So I personally look at that as just kind of like, all right, that's some BS, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let it, you know, bug me. I feel like everybody's got an opinion on everything that goes on in pickleball. I would say I'm pretty easygoing in terms of all that, but that being said, I did get the short end of the stick a little bit.
Yeah, that's really tough. That's how the sport's growing. We'll see how it develops. Now, we talked about you, how it is to be a pro
right.
in the game. What is your personal training on court and off court?
Yeah.
Your diet and those kinds of things, like, what do you manage that?
Yeah, at Legacy, we actually have a world-class performance center. It's everything you could possibly want in a gym.
Yeah.
They have it. Now, granted, it is a little pricey. Now, you know, I work with them, so, you know, to get pickleball players into the performance center as well, so they help me out a little bit on a deal, but I train there 3 times a week.
Okay.
I train there Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
So, and what are a few of the things that you do, like exercises?
Yeah, so I work a lot on core.
Okay.
I work a lot on legs. I work a lot on back and shoulders and lats. Mm. I do some tricep for my little punch volley.
Yeah.
I would say, but the biggest things I do a lot of deadlifts. I do a lot of lat pull-ups, shoulder press. Have you ever heard of a TRX band?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the yellow and black ones, right?
Yeah. But so you do you can do whatever you want, but I do TRX eyes, TRX tees, TRX pull-up, TRX.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs, you name it.
I should get actually a TRX outside.
You should actually. Maybe. It's a good investment. I love those things.
Okay.
But yeah, so I work out there 3 times a week. I genuinely would love to tell you that I drill 5 times a week.
Okay.
But my schedule doesn't always allow that. So I would usually say I drill 3 times a week.
Okay. And how many hours each drill session?
I'll usually always drill for an hour at the minimum.
Okay.
Now my schedule doesn't always allow more than that, but I will always at least try and get an hour in.
So drill versus play. And I actually ask all the pros. I ask all the people I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
It's all across the board. You talk to Ben Johns and something like that.
Yeah.
It is 100%
drill. Drill, drill, drill. Yeah.
And there's actually some pros out there. Now, I wouldn't recommend this, but they are very, very light on drills.
Right.
They play a lot. But across the board, what I've seen is obviously, and if you follow us on this channel, drills are super important. What's your percentage split on drills versus playing?
Oh, definitely like 90-10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I probably play like once or twice a week, maybe.
Yeah.
Usually always once a week. Twice a week if I'm lucky. But I will always drill more than I will play.
Okay. And top three drills for you.
Top three drills. I have a transition zone drill that I love doing where basically someone plays up over the net, actually. So they're just taking away some reaction time. Love drilling hand speed. So just kind of being at the volley line, just kind of punching back and forth, and then maybe moving up and back a little bit, just to kind of get a different angle of where you're attacking, and you know, now taking away some speed or some hand eye. And then personally, a very underrated one that I don't see enough people do is their serve or their return.
Well, returns are big. So you practice your serve and returns a lot.
Yeah, right. Because at the end of the day, like, people think getting the serve in is good enough. At the pro level, it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I actually spent a month or two last year kind of transitioning from a close stance serve to actually an open stance serve.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I would like to know your thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Because I have some thoughts about that. So, yeah. So when we talk about open stance, you know, your chest, your shoulders, your hips, everything's faced towards the net, and you know, your feet are parallel planted, like a split step. And the close stance obviously is more traditional with if you're a righty, your left foot's out in front, your right foot's back. So why'd you go to that?
I personally found that I was just able to get a little bit more power on it. My timing was a little bit better. I was able to get that ball a little bit lower and a little bit deeper without as much effort.
Okay.
So I don't know. It was something I kind of just like stumbled upon, where I was just like messing around, and then I was like, hold on a second. I was like, I might have something here. Like, this is kind of good. So I kind of just worked on it, tuned it up, made sure it got better. And yeah, like I'm fully in an open stance, whether I'm playing doubles or singles now. And actually, if you watched any pickleball last year, which I'm sure most of you guys who are listening did, you saw actually some top names switch to an open stance.
So this is going to be really interesting. We're going to talk about this on another podcast, but I serve in a closed stance. I teach players a closed stance.
I do too.
And yeah, benefit wise, I don't know. We'll have to go into it.
Yeah.
We'll have a good friendly debate on it.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
One thing that the close stance, I think that is very beneficial, is that it's easier to get rotation.
Absolutely.
So if you're really flexible,
which I kind of am.
Yeah.
And a good hip mobility.
You know, hitting in open stance is definitely okay. You're going to have to twist your torso a little bit and things like that. But interestingly enough, one of the players I've been following for his career, which is for obvious reasons, is Ben Johns.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him start his career in a close stance. In close stance.
Yep.
There was one or two, maybe a year, he went to an open stance.
He did, yeah.
Now
he's back to
a close stance. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really interesting. Again, paddle technology has changed, but also Ben's serve is getting bigger.
Yeah, it magically does every year.
Yeah. So obviously he's working on it, but closed or open, the important thing is that we are, you know, loading with our legs.
Yeah.
And we are rotating, getting our hips in it, rotating our core, using our core and shoulders and that kinetic chain. So
yeah.
I think, you know, they both can be good. I think it's a little bit of preference.
Yep.
And honestly, the power that the pros can get in open and close probably is very marginal. Like, they're really, really close. So.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, let's talk about what does your diet look like?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a super like important thing that you keep track of,
or
kind of just eat anything you want?
A lot of McDonald's, Jordan. A lot of McDonald's and In-N-Out, you know.
Just number two.
Burgers and fries and milkshakes, you know, because why not? No, but I would say I like to watch what I put in my body. I'm not a calorie counter guy. You know, I don't look at food and go, oh, like I'm already at 40 2,000 calories. I can't eat that. You know, I eat what I feel is right for my body. And personally, that is not junk food, but I do like to put, you know, more calories in my body based off of what I've been trying to accomplish in the gym and as a pickleball player. I've always been a really skinny, small kid growing up. So
what do you weigh now?
155.
Okay, so we're pretty close.
Yeah, you know, we're getting there. But when I moved out here, actually, last year, I was sitting at like 146. Hmm. And personally for me, I actually have a really hard time gaining weight.
Yeah.
And even like in a full day of work, just teaching.
Yeah.
Just teaching. I usually burn like 3,000 calories.
How many hours is that?
I would say 8 hours of teaching.
Okay. Wow. 3,000. So you got to eat at least 3,000, right?
I got to eat. I got to eat more if I'm trying to gain. Yeah.
You gotta,
I mean, you that's
like 5,000.
Yeah. That's one thing my personal trainers tell me a lot is like, what'd you have for breakfast today? And I'm like, water. And they're like, yep, not going to cut it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then once I work out, they're like, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, Chick-fil-A? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. Okay. And they're like, you need to go there. Don't order the, you know, the fried stuff. Go and order their
grilled
chicken club.
Oh, okay.
You know, get some chicken, you know, some lettuce, some tomatoes, some cheese, some, obviously the bun is, you know, some carbohydrate, which is actually pretty good for you when you work out. You know, it's got the bacon, probably not the best part of it, but protein still.
Okay. So we're talking about diet and you're moving to Chick-fil-A. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say chicken sandwiches are actually a big part of my diet.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to gain weight.
Is it just Chick-fil-A or do you get it from somewhere else? You're just talking about chicken sandwiches in general.
Yeah. I don't know from where, but usually there's a Chick-fil-A like close to work. So that's kind of the go-to spot if I need, you know, just a lot of calories. But yeah, like I try and put a protein shake in my body, that has like up to 40 grams of protein. And I will say like with my protein shakes, I go hard on my protein shakes.
Okay.
I mean, I put yogurt, I put granola, I put peanut butter. I use a protein powder called Syntha 6. Love that. It's like a peanut butter chocolate, protein powder. Super yummy. I usually will put, I love milk, but I will usually use oat milk.
All right.
But
are you lactose intolerant or no?
No. Okay. Oh God.
You just like oat milk better?
For my smoothies. Yeah, I guess it's a little thicker. I would say.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But oh man, I don't know if I'd be able to live life if I was lactose intolerant. I need cheese. I need
those dairy. Grilled cheeses.
Yeah.
All right, so that's cool. So we talked about, Caden's experience on the Pro Tour, kind of his diet, get those carbohydrates, get those protein and vitamins in. We're going to segue into a special segment here.
Ooh.
Music and pickleball.
Ooh.
So if you didn't listen to the first episode, Caden, Nemoff, you said you like music.
Love music.
What the viewers may not know is I actually play a good amount of music. Cool. I play drums, guitar, and piano. I actually play all three. But it's not about me right now. We are going to get to a pro that sings and that you may not know about.
Huh?
So do you have any guesses before? I'm going to pull up the video.
It's not me.
You have a few guesses. It's a pro on the tour, somewhere on the tour.
Can you give me like PPA or APP?
Both.
Huh. Can I get gender?
Male.
Really?
In between the ages of 18 and 30.
I feel like that doesn't really help, but okay.
All right. Anyways, we are going to pull it up on the screen here.
Oh, you have a video of them singing?
And yeah, just, you know, hopefully we'll hear it a little bit through the speakers, guest pro singing a little tune.
Oh my God, it is me.
All right, let's give this a little whirl, huh?
Wow, 9 years ago, huh? Oh boy.
Wow. Sing it, Caden.
He is trampling down the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Dude, I remember every single word of the song.
Bro, this is so funny because I actually was trying to find some footage of you teaching because someone was asking me about that. But this came up, dude.
Yay.
So for all the viewers out there that was that are listening and can't see, this is Caden Nemoff singing. What year was this, dude? How old were you?
Middle school? I think I was in like 6th or 7th grade.
Dude, I gotta say, I showed Katrina this, and bro, you pretty much look exactly the same, just a smaller version.
You don't have to say that, but I mean...
I mean, bro, your hair is pretty close.
My hair is so short, it looks like I just got out of bed. That t-shirt is from H&M, I'm pretty sure. My mom liked it. My arms are skinnier than your fingers. and the 602 views that you see here.
Are those your family?
No, those are probably my high school friends that were roasting me for it when I was in high school.
Dude, anyways, you know what? I will figure out though. Music and pickleball. If you're a pickleball pro, you play some music or instruments. That's a good segment. I'd like to know. I'd like to know who sings out there.
We should start a band.
Maybe a PPA versus APP band.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that.
Yeah. Do you know any pros that play music, sing, or do any of that kind of thing?
You know, I'm sure there's got to be a list of players that either, you know, play some piano or violin or flute, you know. But you see that kid up there on the stage right there, or on that computer or that TV, whatever the heck it is? That kid sang for the San Francisco Opera. And
nice.
That's not something I usually share.
Do you have to get like drafted
in the kind draft? Of. Yeah, I got picked. I got picked. Really? I had to audition for it. But it was a super cool thing kind of for me growing up. I will say I don't think I cherished it as much as I do now.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, when your parents are like, "Jordan, you'll thank me later."
Yeah.
It was one of those for me. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, my parents would tell me that as a kid. Yeah. And like, I'd always be like, "Man, you're nuts."
Yeah.
Music, whatever. I want to play sports.
Yeah.
You know? And now that I look back at it, like, I got to go on tour. I got to...
Oh, so you actually traveled for it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I got to go to Vancouver. Okay. I got to go to Costa Rica. I got to... went to Arizona 1 year. I don't know what the hell that one was about. But in the summer, too. It was terrible. But like, I got to... sing for the San Francisco Opera. I was a part of a 16-set show for La Boheme. It was super cool. And I went to high school at a performing arts high school, continued to sing there. I'm not going to lie. Once I got to high school, I was pretty burnt out by it. So once I got to high school, I was kind of over the whole damn thing. But I still sing pretty often.
Wow.
Just in my car and in the shower, though.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that segment. Let's hop into the next one. Right after this one, we will be hopping into the APP Daytona results and the PPA. But we're just going to talk about the game of pickleball, how much it has exploded.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's millions and millions of players now. Over 35 million, I think, last year has tried this game at least.
Wasn't there a stat that said there's more pickleball players in this world than there are golfers?
I can't confirm that one, but I know that we're at a big number.
Yeah.
And with that growth, lends it to needing coaches.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're out there trying to improve your game, you're probably watching our channel, improving that way, consuming as much good quality content as you can.
Yeah.
And obviously drilling and practicing really is important, but you may be looking for a coach. So I can say that there's a good amount of good coaches out there.
Yep.
And there's a lot of bad coaches out there.
Yep.
So bad as in Not that they're bad, they just are uneducated, or they're just teaching kind of what they know, which is actually totally fine. But if you're trying to get good sound coaching, you know, you got to make sure that person is reputable and also kind of knows what they know. Now, what would you say, Kaden? I've gotten this question a couple times. Like, what level? You know, I mean, obviously they don't have to be a pro, but in your kind of mind, what level do you think, or what should people be looking for in a coach? And what level does their coach technically have to be, or is there any line there?
It's tough, right? I mean, there is such a gray area for pickleball coaching right now. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can be Joe Schmo at the YMCA, you could be Dane Gingrich. At the end of the day, a lot of the people don't know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of just look at you, and if they beat you, you're kind of like, oh, hey, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you teach pickleball? You know, but personally, you have to know fundamentals to be teaching pickleball.
That's good.
You know, you need to know technique. You need to have technique. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can't give you an example of what I'm trying to teach you, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I've seen pickleball instructors teaching pickleball to students, and the student is better than them.
Yeah.
That's a really bad look for pickleball.
Oh, you're personally talking about like their technique and
yeah, stuff. Okay. I mean, they're putting more dinks in the net than the student is.
Oh, okay.
And the student's like second day, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, now, it's tough, right? Like you said, there's not enough pros to go around and say, okay, well, this city gets a pro, this city gets a pro.
Yeah.
But, like, personally, if like I said, if you can't show what you're trying to do, then maybe you might want to reconsider, right? Like, you can, and people tell me all the time, oh, well, I mean, you come from a baseball background. You look at managers, right? Baseball managers, not all of them were, you know, superstar, you know, players in the MLB, which I get.
Well, let's just say, like, in most cases, the best coaches in the world were not the best pro players, or probably didn't even play pro.
Right. But I'll tell you what. I'll bet you they played a still very high-level version of whatever they were playing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, as a lifelong Giants fan, Bruce Bochy, right? Bruce Bochy won 3 World Series rings for the Giants in a 5-year span, right? I look at that, and when I was younger, I was like, oh, man, what was Bruce Bochy? The guy was the 3rd-string catcher on the Padres. Hmm. The guy barely played, you know? And in that time, I would say one thing that he did, even though he was a pro baseball player, he barely played, but you know what he did? He learned everything about everything when it came to baseball.
Yeah, I think like when you're not at the top, you're trying to get there.
Right.
And you just learn, like, you know, you're trying to figure everything out. So I think that's some good qualities to coach.
Yeah, but that's also another thing is baseball's been around since early 1900s, even before that.
Right? That's interesting. That's a good take.
Pickleball is pretty new still. You know what I mean? Like, I can honestly say, even as a pro pickleball player and instructor, like,
yeah,
I'm still learning about this sport.
Yeah.
Which means if I'm learning about this sport, imagine what this other person might have to learn if they're a 3-5 or a 3-0.
And that's one of my, I would say, coaching pet peeves is that obviously I've been coaching like a long, you know, a good amount, 7-8 years now. But, when someone says, I have students and clients all the time, but when they say, oh, I've gotten coached and they said this and this was the only way to do it.
Yeah.
That kind of, for me.
Oh, it rubs me the wrong way too.
That throws the red flags up. Mm-hmm. Because again, in this game, you're right. It's still evolving. Fundamentals are super, super important.
Yeah.
They need to have a good understanding of not just the scoring, but the game, the strategy. Things like that. And you're right, the technical aspect, they have to be able to at least show you the correct way.
Yeah.
And like you just said, you know, the game's changing. So,
right.
And there's not one way to do everything. So,
it's, you know, true.
For the listeners and viewers out there, I would just really, if you're looking for a coach, I would make sure that, you know, you find somebody that is also a learner, and them themselves are telling you, like, you know, this is my experience and I'm still learning today.
Yeah. If you could name three pickleball players, pro or not pro, that are great instructors besides yourself, who would they be?
Oh, good question. I have two in mind.
Let me
see if I could find a third. Now I'm just to throw it out there. These are just some. So I'm talking about pros right. that are actually good coaches.
Yep.
Honestly, for me, it'd be. So Tyson is up there. I really respect him.
Yeah.
I think he has some good stuff. And Simone.
Simone. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. I can't think of a third right now.
That's fine. I was actually going to say the other MacGuffin, Kyle McKenzie.
Yes. And a lot of people don't know him, but yeah, mm-hmm.
Guy is the brains of pickleball. I mean, that guy knows.
Well, he's also probably taught like 2,000 clinics too, so.
Probably more.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And then I was actually going to say Lindsay Newman is actually a really good coach.
Shout out to Lindsay.
Yeah, just how, like, you know, she explains the game and like what you're trying to accomplish. And I mean, obviously you look at her, how she plays, and like you look at her grip and style and you're kind of like, well, what's she teaching, right? But like, yeah. I've actually like seen her teaching a clinic, and she does a really, really good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
So technical wise, that's going to be, yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen her teach, but
right.
how she teaches that aspect. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about like more strategy and,
right.
and kind of the game.
Right.
Okay. No, it's great.
We'll keep that list at top two.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of a third either.
Okay. Yeah. So shout out to those people. Obviously, I know that there is other teachers out there. Oh, Callie Smith.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Thank you for that. I don't know what you gotta call it, but it's the 10.
Plus.
The 10.
Plus equals 10.
Plus minus 10 thing.
Yeah.
So shout out to Kelly.
We'll have a better name for it next week.
All right. So now let's hop right into APP Daytona.
Yeah.
In Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go over the results. And so APP, PPA, two different tours here.
Yep.
How much did you watch of it? What are your thoughts of the...
So I know they didn't stream as much of it as they usually do.
Yeah.
But that being said, I watched a couple matches. I watched Paris and Hunter play. I want to say it was against like Rob Nunnery and Susanna.
Oh, Susanna Barr?
Yeah. That was actually a pretty good match. But before we even get to the pro brackets, I'd like to shout out a very special man.
Okay.
He goes by the name of Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson?
Mike Johnson, Craig Johnson's father.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I would say he is the definition of a family man. He is a great businessman. I mean, just overall, a super solid dude. Great pickleball player. He went out to Daytona and took gold in the 3-5. 50 plus singles, and got silver in the 3-5, 50 plus, or
wow,
55 right. plus doubles.
Shout out to
Mike Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, balled out. Had a weekend.
Okay, so Daytona Open. Let's just start here with the men's pro doubles, and we got Kyle Yates. Andre Daescu, is that how you say his name, right?
Yeah.
For gold, Hunter Johnson, Yates Johnson. For silver, Stefan, how do you say that last name?
Evarne.
Oh, Evarne and Brendan Long. And we'll be talking about Brendan Long in a little bit because he definitely made a really, really good showing. But yeah, so Daescu and Kyle Yates, the OG GOAT, they call him.
Yep. The baby-faced assassin.
Yeah, and it's still, I mean, yes, we're talking about APP, but goals in APP, that's not easy.
Nope, it's not.
That's not easy.
And it's a payday, so.
Yeah, so really, really good showing from Mr. Yates and Daescu and the Johnson brothers. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how good they keep getting together.
Yeah.
And yeah. Do they play PPA? They do, right? Not all of them. Huh?
I don't know if they play all of them. I think they play dominantly APP. But you know what's funny is I actually discovered them last year.
Okay.
In April. I played against them in the South Carolina Open, and I played with Rob Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
And we played them in the back draw.
So the brothers, the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we beat them 15, 10 or 11.
Oh, good win.
You know, so like looking back at it now, I'm like, hey, you know, at the time I was like, I don't know who these guys are, but they, I don't know which one is which.
Oh, but they just got started then.
But they were pretty much just getting started.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, they, that was probably like their third or fourth tournament, but now,
wow.
I mean,
wow.
being okay. where they are now, it's a, there's a whole nother beast.
Yeah. So, you know? Looking at pro men's singles, Hunter Johnson for gold, Yates Johnson. I don't know who's older, actually, for silver.
It's got to be by maybe minutes.
Are they twins?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. And Max Mantho. Dude, I don't know who that is.
I don't either, but.
So shout out to Max.
Nice job, Max.
That's
money.
Some other notable names here.
Yeah.
Ryler DeHart, dude, that guy was a beast. I'm pretty sure that's the guy who I've been looking at a little bit, but he was a professional tennis player. He actually played against Nadal.
Yeah, dude. He's a lefty.
Yeah,
he's filthy.
He's
actually a really good singles player. If he found pickleball when he was playing tennis,
oh yeah,
it'd be
OV, bro, over.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Hunter and Yates go at it, and it is 11-9, 4-11, 11-8, and then 15-13. That's ridiculous. So
yeah, that's a long gold medal match,
the
right?
Brothers
there.
battling it out. Actually, I remember a couple of years ago, Ben. This is when Colin Johns still played singles.
Oh, really?
Him playing his brother.
In the finals.
In the final.
That was in Texas.
Dude, and I remember they were just so tired, dude. It was probably like this.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. But didn't, I think Colin took a game off of him there, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it went to like a game of 15.
And Colin was using the left hand for a forehand. Maybe. He wasn't hitting any two-handers.
You're right, maybe.
Yeah.
And then again, the difference between the APP compared to the PPAs, they have a back draw.
Right.
They have the double dip action there.
Yep.
So that is really good. All right. Mixed pro doubles. Upset alert.
Babu.
Maybe it's not an upset alert anymore because Bobby Oshiro is getting some.
She's getting some love.
Some love around here. We talked about the last APP where she played with Sarah Ansbury.
Oh, and PPA, then, that was that.
Sorry, last APP where she played with Sarah Ansbury, and they made a run of the ages, taking out Callie Smith and Lucy and Georgia Johnson and someone else.
Andrea Coop. Spot
so,
on, yeah.
Bobby,
Girls, she's just on a 2-week tear, man. I honestly want her to keep this going. I really do.
Yeah.
I love Bobby.
And then I actually looked up some info on her. So she played at Idaho State.
Huh.
I think, yeah, Boise State. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, sorry.
Oh, you're good.
People from Idaho. But yeah, so she did that. And then just going back to... Yeah, Bobby Oshiro, Brendan Long. I looked up Brendan. I don't know if you know his background at all. There's nothing I can find. I don't think he played tennis.
What?
What I actually found, though, if it's him, I think he came from baseball.
Huh.
I think he was a baseball player. I don't think he has racket experience.
He's kind of got the look of a baseball player. I'm not going to lie.
He is one of the few that may not be a tennis player, but Duper, you can see 6.1 singles.
Right.
6.0.
No, guy's a beast.
I
played against him. He's good.
Yeah, but shout out to Brendan Long and Bobby Ashiro. So they beat Paris Todd and Hunter Johnson twice.
Yeah.
So once in the, you know, the winner's bracket, and then again.
Well, they beat Simone and Andre as well, right?
Let's look at that. Yeah, so let's see here. Ashiro and Long. Let's see what
they beat.
So they start off, they beat Shelby Bates and Kyle Yates. Then they get through DeHart and Megan Fudge. And then they get through Todd and Johnson. And then, yes, they beat Simone and Deascu.
Yeah. 11-9, 12-10.
Okay, that's close.
Yeah.
Really, really close.
Wow, and look at the gold medal match. They actually lost the first two matches and went into the game of 15.
Oh, wow.
To win it there.
So, Ashiro, you know what? That is one of the ladies I have not watched much about. We talked about her
Super steady.
I definitely need to start keeping up with her. So that was the mixed pro. And now let's jump into women's pro doubles. Simone Jarjeme, Paris Todd gold, Megan Fudge, Susanna Barr silver. And then again, Bobby Ashiro and Lee Whitwell for the bronze. I love Lee. She's great. Yeah.
She's amazing.
Shout out to Lee. She's definitely one of the older ones on tour, and she's doing well for herself.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, so Jarjeme and Todd kind of run through the crowd.
Yeah.
And anything? Did you see any of those matches or games?
I didn't get to see any of the women's matches, unfortunately. I did see some of the women's singles.
Oh, you did? And let's jump right into that. Women's pro singles, Paris Todd gold. Salome. Is it?
Mm-hmm. Salome Davidze.
You know what? I've heard both. Okay, Salome Davidze and Megan Fudge for bronze. Now, let's talk a little bit about line calls.
Point controversy again.
So, I don't know. Is it Salome you said? Salome. I don't know Salome personally. I do often because what we do here is I'm on the pickleball forums here and there.
Yep.
And things come up. So
oh, yeah.
I am just relaying some information here. But why don't you tell us kind of just what has played out with the line call situation there?
Yeah. So what I know, Alex Truong is a very good friend of Megan Fudge. So
shout out to Alex. Dude, her game has gotten ridiculously good.
Yes. Yes, so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But she was watching Megan play singles against Salome to go to the gold.
Okay.
And it was 10-9 in the third game. Salome was serving. Megan Fudge hit a passing shot that was probably 3 or 4 inches in the court.
Yeah.
And Salome called it out.
Yep. So just from what I gathered, there definitely is, I'm not going to say a track record, but there's several times that players, and I can't confirm this because I'm never there, but just what I read, there is several times that she's calling close balls out. We actually have a video of that. So we're going to pull that up right now. And again, there's a lot of people that are kind of frustrated, kind of mad, and there's some people defending her. But again, I'll tell you what, in singles, it's hard to make accurate calls all the time.
Yeah, I get that.
Why is that? Because you are covering your whole court.
Yeah.
You're running, and it's tough to call. But let's take a quick look at this video here. We got her serving. You said Megan Fudge, yeah?
Yep, Megan Fudge is in the backcourt.
Good ball, and then cross court forehand. And that's Alex Truong saying, oh my.
Oh my.
And then good, like, okay. So let's just break down this point for everybody and listening too. Let's get into some single strategy. If you would like more single strategy, leave a comment below. Or double strategy, and we will break down some points. But look at, Salome. Okay, like Shalom.
Like, yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly.
Salome, open stance,
There you go.
Open stance server. Okay.
Yeah. Watch the hip, the torque from the hip.
And again, you can see, so again, this is why you have to be flexible in an open stance. You know, you're turning your hips, getting that shoulder, that left shoulder, if you're righty, close to the net.
Well, if you look at her front shoulder, it's actually aimed kind of like the same way if you were in a close stance.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's what I'm saying. So you're pretty much getting in a close stance without your feet.
Right.
Okay. So we got a good serve here. Nice topspin, legal serve there. And again, nice slice return.
Stays back.
To the middle.
Yeah.
And again, so if you're playing singles, staying up, staying back and coming up really depends on, I think, your mobility.
Yep.
And also your return.
Yep.
You definitely don't want to come in on short returns.
Right.
If you're going to come in, hit a nice deep return, Megan Fudge decides to stay back on this. And then she hits a good backhand, and then she comes up. Salome comes up, and then so to the backhand, and this is really good too. As a strategy tip, keep it to your opponent's weaker side.
Yep.
You know, play the path of least resistance. If you're going to some tournaments or you're playing singles, 9 out of 10 times someone's backhand is less offensive and weaker. You will run into the occasional backhand dominant players. But when you're playing, hit it to the backhand deep and come in. And Salome, that's exactly what she does.
Smart
and
play.
Megan Fudge goes for a nice passing shot. And this
goes
is
for the angle. That's so filthy.
Yep. And then
gosh,
Salome, great volley. I mean, this is actually a really low ball. Again, singles is a little bit different, but if you're going for a drive, one of the things that separates tennis, I actually have been coaching a lot of singles lately.
Yeah.
One of the things that separates tennis passing shots and pickleball passing shots is tennis, you have a further court and your passing shots. Now, if you're going cross court, you want to angle it just like this. But when you're like hitting down the line and stuff, you want to generally keep your balls deep.
Right.
In this game, because of the non-volley zone line, if you're playing singles, your passing shots, you generally, ideally, want them dipping down,
right?
Forcing a low ball. So this is exactly what we see from Megan Fudge. Great backhand form here. Salome gets a good volley here.
That honestly is a really good volley by Salome.
And then I just want to talk about shading really quick. We talk about shading, covering the court position in doubles. Yeah. But you can see this volley here and notice where Salome recovers to. Before this is still fairly good positioning. I would say that Salome, maybe it would be better if she was a foot or two over to her right.
Yeah.
But again, so here's a passing shot. We see this.
I mean, Megan Fudge hit this ball perfectly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, as far as Salome's positioning, she's covering down the line because you kind of have to.
You have to cover.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I think Salome's positioning actually puts her in a spot where Megan Fudge could go cross court, but that shot would absolutely have to be perfect.
It forces her into the cross court ball. Yeah. That's a really good point. And yeah, so we can see here. Now the ball looks clearly in. Can't confirm it. This was not there, but video confirmation. You guys make your decision there.
Based off of my 2020 vision, looked pretty in to me. But, you know, to each their own. To each their own.
Yeah, so that is that, and I think that wraps up the APP. Any last final thoughts on just the APP?
No, APP, Ken Herman, love you guys, man. Hope all is well with you guys.
All right, shout out to APP. And what's your split right now, APP to PPA tournaments? What do you...
I would say it's like 60-40, PPA 60, APP 40.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to play as... pretty much as I can.
Yeah. All right. So now let's jump right into the PPA Carvana, Arizona Grand Slam.
Ooh, predictions.
At Legacy Sports, Belbank Park. And yeah, this is this coming weekend, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Starts on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the top pros will be there. And let's get to men's pro doubles. Okay, there's a lot of teams here. We're just going to go over our predictions really quick, what we see.
Yep.
I'm going to start with mine. we saw what unfolded in the last PPA, so I'm just going to kind of stick with that. Ben and Colin Johns for gold. Wow. Riley and Matt Wright. Riley Newman, Matt Wright for silver, and I'm going to go J-Dub and Dylan for bronze.
Surprise, surprise. I'm going crazy on this one. You ready?
You remember last time when you went crazy? I just want everyone to know the last time Kaden went crazy, he had Anna Lee for bronze.
What? Did I?
I think in women's doubles or something.
Oh, with Catherine? Yeah.
So, okay, go ahead.
I'm going hot take again. You ready? With how bad Riley and Matt played last weekend.
Silver, bro.
I guess. I'm talking about the gold medal match, though. They got kind of destroyed. I'm not going to lie.
Or the Johns just freaking played great.
Also that.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to take my boy, Riley Newman.
Okay.
And his partner, Matt Wright.
Okay.
Okay. So not that crazy. Okay,
that's not a hot take.
But I'm going to, I know.
I mean, it's like a warm take there.
Okay, fine. Lukewarm. I'll take Ben and Colin for silver.
Okay.
And then for bronze.
What do you got?
I actually like the Dylan and JW pick, but I'm going to go Declan AJ.
Okay.
That's a new partnership.
New team.
Yeah.
New team partnership.
Let's go.
Shout out to Deco Barr and AJ Kohler.
The gentle giants.
Dude, they're both tall. They're both long. It's going to be an interesting partnership.
Yeah.
Deco's got the Ernie's on both sides. AJ's got that long reach, the flicks.
You know what I want to know?
Yeah.
Who's playing the left?
It's going to be... Oh, let's make a little guess. So we haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Which side is Deco Ernie from more?
Definitely the left. But...
Dude, I would... Oh, man. They could be...
That's tough, huh?
Maybe they play straight up.
I think they probably straight up.
Maybe they play straight up and they figure it out. Yeah. So... Okay, so now let's go to men's singles pro at the PPA. Really quick, before we get right into that, we're going to look at the men's pro qualifier.
See if there's any names that could...
see if there's any names. And really quick...
Make some crazy plays.
Yeah, for the viewers and listeners out there, this was never a thing back 2 or 3 years ago.
Not even a year ago.
On the men's side, there is a qualifier just to get in the main bracket. It's ridiculous. I don't know, like 30, 40 names on here.
That's
So in this segment, and you can all follow along, you can go to the Pickleball Tournament's website. You can type in the PPA coming up here in Mesa, Arizona. And what we're going to do is, from this qualifier, we are going to pick one person from here, one man that we think that is going to do fairly well. And out of what Kaden picks and what I pick, we're going to see who goes the furthest.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adrian Lagareta.
Is that your pick?
That's my pick, bro.
All right. I actually like that pick. I just played with Adrian like 2 or 3 days ago.
You played him doubles, though.
But I played him in doubles.
Oh, but there's big... Okay, so what's your pick? We got Big E... Brett Warner.
I'm actually going to take Zach Taylor.
Who's that?
Zach Taylor is a guy from SoCal. He's ginger, super nice guy.
A tennis player?
I think he formerly played tennis. Okay. He's signed by Selkirk. Trains with like the Lacey Sheeman of pickleball. Nice. And Derek Scherer and all that, you know, that SoCal crew. But he's a super nice guy. I'm actually playing with him in the APP San Diego tournament in March at the Hub.
So kind of biased pick there.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. Well, we'll see how they do. So Adrian Lagareta and what was his name?
Zach Taylor.
We'll see on the next podcast.
Don't let me down, Zach. Come on, man.
On the next podcast, we'll see who makes it further. So just really quick picks on pro singles. I have Ben Johns, gold, Julian Arnold,
ooh,
silver, and Federico bronze. I'm actually switching it up. What are yours?
Okay. I'm going to go Ben Johns for gold.
Surprise.
Yeah, right? I know. Silver, I'll go Federico. I think Federico...
I did last time. I'm just trying to switch it up.
Yeah. I took Federico third last time. Yeah. So I'll give him second. Okay. He's had two back-to-back second places. So I'll give him that. For bronze... Now, this is tough, right? Because a lot of these guys play each other in the same, like, are on the same side of the bracket. Right?
Yeah, so seeding, that's the hard part with any of these PPAs. Right. Now there's no double dipping, so the seeding is, I think they're going to, they should come out with these brackets further out, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I wish they did. I mean,
I'm surprised they don't, but go ahead. What's your pick?
But anyway, bronze, I'm taking my little brother, J.W. Johnson.
Okay. Brother J.W.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like this is one where he'll kind of step it up and say, all right, I'm going to give it all I've got and really put some oomph into it. Because, I mean, if you look at J.W., before he was known for doubles, he was known for singles, was he not?
Yeah, actually, one of the most, I think just one of the best technical matches I've seen is the one at U.S. Open.
Yeah.
J.W. Johnson with the carbon, I believe, versus Ben Johns. We might break that one down.
Right. So, I mean, I think J.W. has kind of realized how good the singles is getting, but that doesn't mean that he's not still a really good singles player. So I'm going to take J.W. for bronze.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good take there. Let's hop right into the women. And we're going to go singles first. I got Anna Lee Waters, surprise there for gold. Catherine Peronto, silver. Leia for bronze.
Okay. All right. I like that. I'm going to take Anna Lee for gold.
All right.
You know, I got to, man. I mean, she's a day one. She's a day one. I'm going to take Leia for silver.
Okay, that's what I did last time.
Yep, and I'm going to take Mary Brasha.
You did that.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Mary didn't actually play singles that weekend.
There was a scorer there, though.
Did she play?
I think she did, bro.
Okay, maybe she did play. But anyway, she didn't. Yeah, anyway, that's my pick.
Okay. All right, so now let's hop into women's doubles pro picks. I got Anna and Anna squared.
It's a dominant duo.
Yeah, so can't bet against Anna Lee just yet. Anna Lee, Anna Bright, their partnership is a new one this year. And then I got, actually, Catherine Peronto and Georgia Johnson versus silver.
Okay.
And then I have Leia and Elise.
Okay.
For bronze.
All right. That's fair. I have, obviously, Anna Square. Anna Lee and Anna Bright. I mean, that's just too dominant, personally. I'm going to actually go with something that we just saw, but I'm going to take Elise Jones and Leia for silver. I mean, I think they looked really good.
No, they did.
At the Phoenix tournament. They looked really, really good. They looked grooved.
Dude, Elise was out there diving.
Elise was balling out.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally would have never expected that. And like, after watching that match, I was like, all right, Elise, you have my respect. You know, you can get it, man. That was good stuff. And then for bronze, after the very crappy weekend that they had last weekend, I will take Lucy and Callie.
All right, Lucy, Callie. Mm-hmm. Step it up. Let's go. Come on.
Let's get it,
Let's beat that. Let's beat that bronze.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did we get the singles? Women's singles?
We did singles. Okay. We didn't do mix.
We didn't do mix. Again, this is the problem with the qualifier. They don't post.
You don't actually see any of the top names.
I'm going to just go after it right now. I'm going to go. This is it. This is exactly how it's going to play out.
Let's hear it.
Bennon, Johns, Anna Lee Waters, gold.
Yep.
Silver, Riley Newman, Anna Bright.
Okay.
I think if they're playing together,
yep,
then bronze is going to be Matt and Lucy.
Okay.
Matt Wright, Lucy Kovalova.
All right. I'm gonna take Riley Newman and Anna Bright first.
Okay.
For gold. Just, you know, spice things up, you know?
And if that happened, I
give me some flavor, you know?
I would love to see that, actually.
I think it would be really cool. I'll take Ben and Anna Lee for silver, which will break both Ben and Anna Lee's gold triple crown era.
Wow.
But to be fair, I mean, it's still very much intact. It's just, I think this one, they will be upset.
Okay, and what you got for bronze?
And for bronze, I mean, I guess you got to go Matt and Lucy, right? I mean,
okay. So we basically, had a good tournament last tournament. Have the same thing, but yeah. We're switching one and two.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That was PPA.
Yeah.
Real quick. Who are your partners? Who are you playing with?
I am playing with Moo. I don't know how to say his last name.
Okay. You might need to learn that.
I probably should.
Okay.
I probably should. Veratuskin.
Okay. Shout out to Moo.
I love you, Moo. Let's go tear.
And you guys, are you guys in the qualifier or no? You're not sure.
We are actually the number 2 seed in the qualifier. So a little bit of a bummer, but
okay.
But we only have to win 2 matches to go to the main draw.
Okay.
Instead of 3.
All right, cool. So Moo, and then are you playing singles?
I'm actually not playing singles.
Oh, you're
this
not.
Tournament. No,
so it's just doubles.
Yeah, I decided to just play doubles. I'd like to work on a few things, and then I'll get back out there for singles.
All right. That wraps up the PPA. Last segment here of the show. You're not going to want to miss this. Don't click off now. We have a special video that was taken from the archives of the Golden State Championships in Concord, California, ran by Katrina and Jordan Briones. Last podcast, we had a segment where Caden was talking about playing with Annalie Waters. And that she was 11, 4'9", or something.
She was small.
And
so was I, though.
So are you. And again, this may be one of the very few videos of a small, new Annalie Waters. Yeah. So your dad found this, I believe.
Wow.
On his phone, right?
I think so, yeah.
And I...
This is... You know, before Ben came into the picture and ruined my life, this is what I like to call the good old days.
The good old days of Annalie.
You know,
this is
where
yeah
I was that guy. You know, yeah.
Okay, so for those listening, this is a video of Caden Nemoff and Annalie Waters.
Gold medal match.
This is gold medal match.
4-5, 19 plus.
Yeah, your opponents are Dave. Shout out to Dave Villaro, Proposal Dave, and. Who was the partner?
Her name was Beth. I don't know her last name.
Okay. But. So Beth, and again, last podcast you said that Annalie was just, she was tearing it up out there.
Oh, she did most of the work. I kind of just said, hey, whatever ball you want to take, you take it. And whatever ball you don't want to take, you let me know.
Okay. So you must have been, Annalie was, you said 11 or 12 and you were.
She was 11. I was 16 at the time, yeah.
Okay, so for those of you listeners, that want to watch this video, make sure to go on our YouTube channel.
Oh, sorry, I was 17.
17, okay.
Yeah.
Make sure to go to our YouTube channel so you can experience this video podcast. But yeah, continue to listen to us on Spotify and iTunes. All right, so here we go. Caden, you were with Engage back
then. I was, and look, it's your dad.
Team Engage, my dad's standing by the ref. I don't know why he's doing that. We got Sue Wong. Shout out to Sue Wong, a lifelong... Not lifelong, a pickleball lifelong friend of mine.
Yeah.
Pickleball
addict and...
And again, this is Concord, California. This is our old stomping grounds here. And gosh,
like I said, Jordan, the good old days.
The good old days. So let's just watch a couple points here. So you're playing the right. Did you guys stack?
No, we actually played straight up.
You played straight. I would probably play straight up too. You probably should have stacked on the right.
I probably should have. But you know what? She was small then, so I kind of got away with it.
Okay,
but.
So Annalie's in with Paddle Tech. Oh, I just want to just go
over. Oh, look at that shot. Did you see that?
I just want to go over just this footwork. And
don't mind it. Look, I'm shading over a little bit.
You know, it would be really interesting to... I want to know more about Annalie's tennis background. I know she had an extensive one.
Right.
But she was so
young. Look at her
playing
in the court.
Okay, she's already decked out in Paddle Tech.
Yep, she's already showboating. Did you see that little backhand flick?
nice little backhand roll there, Caden. I think your roll has gotten a lot better since then.
I would agree.
Okay,
I wouldn't say that was the prettiest
this
shot.
This is Annalie, closed stance. Let's go, team closed. Okay, here.
I was team closed back then, too.
Great form there. Annalie Waters with the drive.
Oh, yeah, look at that defense. Oh, more defense. Uh-oh. Oh.
Okay, so she's really new there. One thing I do want to mention. Now, this is not a knock on Annalie. This is just her being Annalie and being new. Attacking from the transition zone. We talked about this.
Surprise.
But this is, if you can see this here, she drove the first one, and I think, Kaden, you're dropping this one here, and then she comes up into that transition zone. So look, some things I do want to mention is balance, stability, and split step. Very, very key things to be doing in transition. And you can see, I think hers looks a little bit better than yours, to be honest.
I mean, to be fair, yes, but I also knew that ball was going to her. And two, I don't think Annalie knew how to dink back then.
wait, was there? Oh, really? No, really?
I mean, she dinked. But there really wasn't a whole lot of it.
I mean, this is 4-5. What do you have to dink for, right?
Exactly.
Here we go. Annalie. So
guns blazing.
Yeah. So Dave Velardo hits a shot into her. And I think this is around.
I'm not even going to lie. Dave Velardo looks like he's making a potion in a science lab.
Shout out to Dave. And
look at his goggles.
Yeah.
And his knee pads.
Yeah. So Annalie's in transition here. And you can clearly see that this ball is around knee level. So Annalie speeds this one up. And you guys just end up losing the point. So for those of you speeding up in transition, you could get away with it sometimes. If you're going to do it, you got to get in a good spot.
Yep.
But
team close stance right here.
That's just, team close stance.
That's right.
Kaden is now serving in a close stance. Okay. Good
ugly
serve there.
Serve.
I just want to, this is 2 points. So the memorable and iconic third shot drive, Waters drive right here. We can see it in the early days.
Drive and crash, baby.
Drive and crash.
Uh-huh.
Easy point, easy money. And then look, serving again. Okay, so we got Anna.
Put me on the right now.
Yep.
Valid.
We got Kaden serving again. And then look at this, 2 in a row, I believe, right here. Drive and crash.
Just drive right in. Yep.
Third shot drive. Dude, did you guys talk during this tournament?
Heck yeah, man. We were talking the whole day. Dude, it was so much fun. Like, obviously, she was younger, but like, I mean, I feel like Annalie's always been a fairly mature, teenager.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, even at 16, when you look at her, you don't think she's 16. You know what I mean? Oh, God. What was that defense? Why did I just flail like that?
Okay, so we'll watch a couple more points here. Let's see Annalie on the return. Okay.
She likes to come in before and then step back if she needs to.
Okay. That's so interesting. Okay, so something that you didn't know about Annalie when she first started. I've seen her do this twice. So she actually used to start a little bit in the court and then pop back out. I don't know why she's doing that.
She basically saying, hey, hit me a deep serve or else.
That's actually kind of intimidating, actually, right? to think about that.
If I wasn't her teammate, I'd be scared out of my mind.
Okay, so we watch his point.
Kaden, taking over. Taking over.
That's all me, baby. Okay. That's all me. Annalie, stay in your corner.
All right, so that's some footage of Kaden Nemoff and Annalie Waters playing for the first time, and you can just see the beast mode that Annalie was at age 11.
Yeah.
Wait,
Helen, did you see the beast mode in me right there? Come on, I just team takeover right there. I said, Annalie, no, this
was
my court.
That was fairly good, but you know, when we're looking at this, actually just looking at this, if you were at this tournament, shout out to you, and you got to watch this 4-5 match, because this is pretty legendary stuff.
It was a legendary
thing. If you look at where Annalie is today, this is some gold.
This is honestly probably my proudest moment in life.
Dude, honestly.
I'm not kidding.
It would probably be my proudest moment too.
I've won baseball championships. This one feels the best. And I don't know if you remember, but that year you got like huge medals.
Dude.
You remember those? They were huge. Dude, it was like a clock.
We got the biggest medals for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder, she's got to still have it.
Dude, I mean, she better still have it.
We got the biggest medals. It was just awesome.
I mean, I still have it. So, like, if she doesn't have it, that would kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
All right. Well, again, if you're listening out there, make sure to go to our YouTube channel to see some of those clips. That's just a really cool footage that we found. But, so those are our picks for the PPA, the PPA coming up in Mesa. And if you're watching this and you're not subscribed to this channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Follow us on the podcast listening apps on Spotify, Apple Music, all those things. And that wraps up today's show. I know it was a little long, but we do hope that this helped inform you about pickleball and has bettered your game. So thanks so much. We'll see you in the next episode.